Yeah.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime! I use the bathroom.
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the show, man, go direct to DLNTS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 988 of Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
I'm back.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We had him. And we have Joe.
I'm here.
Yep, I'm here too.
And I do have something, but I'm kind of, I want to know from Pat how the audition went last week.
Oh, it went really well, man. It's a classic metal band. It's just starting up. And we're doing like some Priest, some Maiden, some Rainy Roads era Ozzy, some Metallica. It went really well. I was very happy. So we're jamming tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So what are you playing the guitar?
I'm playing guitar. So it's a two guitar setup, me and another dude. And it's fucking sounds awesome. I'm really happy. So
you have two guitars, a drummer, and a bass player, and a
We got a singer coming in tomorrow. I'm gonna check him out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be classic metal. You know, old good stuff.
Not Cookie Monster metal.
No, I'm not into Cookie Monster metal. You know, the good stuff. You know, but we'll probably do some. Might work up some classic rock stuff too. You know, just to be able to play in different places if they don't want metal.
So, like, what kind of places would you be looking to play in to start off?
A local, you know.
Joints. I don't remember what's up there anymore.
I don't
all metal all the time.
I don't know what the scene is like now, post COVID. You know, I don't even know, but whatever.
Throw some punk in there.
The only punk I'd be into is maybe Ramones.
Yeah.
Danzig.
Yeah. Clash. Misfits.
Yeah, Clash Death. Is cool.
Proto punk.
Yeah,
more rock
I'm
punk.
More metal, but I do like some of that stuff. I like the Clash.
Well, that's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, so it should be fun, man. I've been looking to play for a while with different people. I tried out for this classic rock band, and I don't know. It was the singer was like the main guy, and he was kind of a dickhead. He was very he was like a dictator. Everybody was like, oh, I can't. They were all like afraid of him. I'm like, I don't want to be involved in this, you know.
Don't piss off Frank.
I want to be in a group setup, you know, where everybody's equal, you know.
Right. So this band, you guys don't have a name yet, do you?
Not yet, no. But it looks promising.
So this
the Lone
band,
Rangers.
A little more egalitarian, a little
the
more.
Lone Rangers.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We'll see. It's early. We definitely need a couple months of, you know, some practice. But for the first day, man, we were doing fucking Master of Puppets on the first fucking try.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's fucking
hardcore.
Hard song. That's a hard fucking song.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Congratulations.
I should take my saxophone and get it repaired.
You should.
And you joined a metal band, too.
No, be jazz band. No, actually,
the blues. Blues is cool.
I'm going back to my old high school. They have an event at the high school because West York Area School District, they've had 100 years of music instruction this year. So my old band director, he's going to be directing an alumni band. And I don't know. I was thinking about trying it, but I know I'd have to practice. Probably some of the stuff I'd practice is the stuff I've memorized, like our cheer song that we play, because we were the Bulldogs, so we have one of those we played during the football games and stuff. So stuff like that I probably have memorized. I'd have to go practice more because There's no way. I mean, right now, if I had to play, forget it. I don't even know if I can play anymore. We'll have to see. But it does need repaired, like the octave key on the neck. A complaint came completely off the neck. So that needs to be tacked back on. And I'm sure all the pads need replaced because they're all dried out now because nobody's played it for 30 years. Actually, wait, I'm trying to think. Last time I probably played it, probably in like 89 or 90, somewhere around there. First year of college, or first like semester, I should say, of college.
I was participated.
Yeah. 89, July of 89 is when I started college. And that first term, I was in the DeVry actually had a stage band, and I was in that. And I was in that also in the second term, but then I took one of the exams for my second math class in college. I took and I got a D on it, and I'm like, yeah, I got to put my education first. So sorry. Band director was pissed, and I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not here to play music. I'm here to go to school and get my degree. And I'm like, so. But it's been a while.
Yeah, here's the set list. For Whom the Bell Tolls, Master of Puppets, Crazy Train. You've got Another Thing Coming, Symphony of Destruction, Revelations.
Oh, you played Crawling, Symphony of Destruction?
Living After Midnight.
Oh, that has to be fun.
So that's what those are the covers we're working on. We're talking about another Maiden song, maybe also doing Fade to Black, maybe something from the first album, maybe Four Horsemen, maybe.
I don't know.
Thrashy stuff, you know, before they turn into a bunch of fucking douchebags.
Maybe some Rush.
Yeah, I love Rush. I'm a huge Rush fan.
I can just see Pat growing his hair out and get a...
Nah. Not anymore.
Salt and pepper, long-haired metal dude.
I'm not into that. No.
I remember when this show first started, where Dan had the Amish beard.
Yeah, the Amish beard.
So it looked like to me anyway.
Cousin Zebekiah.
Yep. That's exactly what it looked like.
I was trying to move the meeting up.
Real Amish people. I lived in York, Pennsylvania, just down the road from Lancaster. Yeah.
You don't see them around here, but I've
York
seen Mennonites.
Will.
Dan Fry's wife's family are before Mennonites. They're Mennonites, yeah. You know, but they dress normal. But you see Mennonites around here. To get Amish, you got to go further out towards Lancaster. That's far away.
All I know is once I come back from York, I'm going to have a cooler full of lemon bologna, probably some birch beer because I love birch beer. I don't remember.
Is that like root beer?
Yeah, but it does taste different. It doesn't taste like root beer to me, but it does have that kind of wang to it.
It's in the same similar profile, but it's it's mintier.
That's definitely true.
It would be. It's more like a closer to an evergreen, but not like mint.
Yep.
I would say. Yeah, it's a very subtle mint flavor. So if it was, have you ever had sarsaparilla? Hello?
I have a friend who's a DJ, and he's gonna probably host. He's going to look at seeing if we can't host an 80s trivia night at church, which would be fun. And he'll play some 80s music. So he wanted some 3D printed things to sit on his desk. Like I gave him a Pac-Man I printed out. And I'm going to give him a couple of these joysticks. And I might talk to him that if we actually do that, I might drag my Atari 800XL and a couple joysticks to it and set that up on a TV somewhere. Play 80s computer games, or if I can find a find and probably want to mod a Atari 7800 because you can improve the video signal on those. I don't think you can put an HDMI on those. But I know there's a mod that you can put a true composite out instead of having to do the RF output.
Right.
So, and that usually looks better. Because the consoles, unlike the computer, the consoles didn't have like an RGB output. Like that's when I have a cable for my 800XL that basically converts the RGB to composite. Doesn't look great, but it does work. You know, it's not going to look great when you put it on. I mean, you're dealing, your screen has, oh, I don't know, many times more pixels than the standard NTSC TV had back in the day. So it's just not going to look as good as it did on a regular TV. If I can find a good last run CRT based TV, I'd probably get that and put it on that instead of my HD TV. But it does, they both work. That the Atari does, and the Apple IIc works fine on it on the HD TV, but it doesn't look the greatest. That's all. I can probably do some, there's some upscalers I can probably buy that would help, but. Help buy or build, probably buy, because I'm not going to try and manipulate surface mount stuff. I'm wondering if I have it in my garage, if I have my original 8085A that I built when I was in college. Yes, I had to build that and write my own BIOS / operating system for it, which is really simple. It didn't run on a TV screen. Just had 6-7 segment displays. The 4 on the left would show the address in memory, and then the 2 on the right would show you the byte that's in memory. And depending what that byte is, that could be just data, or it could be a opcode for an assembly instruction on the 8085 version of assembly. But that was a really cool project in college that we built. And we had a lot of help with writing that code there, because why reinvent the wheel? You know, we just had to build it, make it work for the project that year. And it was a lot of fun because you can kind of tweak your design a little bit. It had to have at least 2K of RAM and a 2K ROM chip in it. The 2K ROM was what had the program that let you be able to write programs on the keypad. All right. I put extra on both. Mine had a 4K of RAM and 2K or 4K of ROM. The first 2K ROM was, which is at zero address zero, was the one that the computer would start the program on so that you can enter stuff into memory. The other one is what I put my senior project code on, which that was kind of fun too. I basically found a cheap like Casio keyboard and then came up with a system that I can connect the 8085 up to it to play music. Wasn't MIDI, it was my own standard, but but I did get it to work and I got an A on the project, so and it's much more fun than some of the technicians that I watched build their project. I had one guy, I'm trying to remember if I was the faculty associate for his class, but I was friends with him. He was in the technician major, so the 2-year program versus the 4-year program. He built a and programmed a grain dryer, because he used to live on a farm, so he built one of those. So he had an auger and big motor and all that stuff. It was interesting to watch it as it was working, but college, early 90s.
middle school, early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like one of the malls I used to hang out in during college and right after college, they just closed for the final time on the east side, which wasn't too far away from our apartment. But
when mall rats were mall rats,
pretty much. Now that actually has to be the final location I ever played music for an audience. The DeVry Stage Band played there for one. Why I don't remember, but we did. So that was the last place I played any kind of music for anyone. But yeah, the company who ended up buying it, they basically just let it languish, and you know, it lost all its anchors. The first anchor to go was JCPenney's. It had two Macy's at one point, because one was a Lazarus, and then one was a Kaufman's. Macy's bought both of them, and then they ended up closing both of them. Then the last, back in 2018 is when the Sears closed there. So for the last few years, they haven't had a anchor store. It became that mall where mom and pops were opening businesses, usually African-Americans. It was a lot of graffiti style t-shirt stores and stuff like that in it. Very few national chains were left when it finally closed. And last I heard, there was a sewage leak in the basement of the mall, which is like, ew, you don't want to go down there. So I think someone still owns it, and I think the city's trying to get control of it because they want to tear it down because it's kind of been a nuisance for a while.
Sounds exciting.
Not really. It just makes me think of the stores that I miss that are pretty much gone now, like Radio Shack. Loved Radio Shack.
Yeah.
They threw away a perfect opportunity, too, because right towards the end, that kind of stuff was coming back. Maker stuff and stuff like that. They could have gone in that direction, but instead they decided, well, let's sell shitty cell phones.
But all your electronic stores seem to go that way before they take their final plunge.
Right. Yeah, it was sad. We used to have, actually, Columbus also used to have a Radio Shack outlet. So, like, if they couldn't sell it in the mall stores, it would go there and you can get it for next to nothing. Speakers, computers, and stuff like that. You know, this is we're talking probably mid to late 90s is the last time I was over there. But Microcenter or something that it kind of replaced that kind of model, because you can go to Microcenter and get a lot of different maker stuff, 3D printers. And if you're a brand new customer, you can get Ender Pharaoh, I think. That's the one they usually put on sale, I think, because you can get it for like $99 with the coupon. But you can't get the coupon unless you've never been to Microcenter before. And I've been to there several times, so it's kind of pointless for me.
Yep.
But now my wife's not in there, but I don't think they'll let me use her to get the coupon because...
Oh, why not?
Well, the thing is I think they match the address as well. So you have to put your address in to get the coupon.
Well, she lives at B. You live at A.
There's no B and A here, but yeah.
Exactly.
But I don't need an Ender that bad. Because if I'm buying one, I'm not buying... Actually, that's a smaller printer than the one I have now, I think.
Right.
So,
your CR10? So like,
yes, I have the Mini. But yeah, the CR10 Mini is still larger than an Ender.
220 by 220 by 250?
The Mini is 220 by 320. It's a kind of a weird ratio compared to some of them. But... I don't care. It works.
Well, you know what? You know what? You sent me something that I want you to talk about.
Oh, sure.
The Stadia controller's Bluetooth unlock
tool. Yeah, that just came out this week. Stadia is no more. Stadia was Google's gaming streaming service. And a few times I played with it, it was all right. You know, it just didn't work too well. So... Google has ponied up a way to now unlock the controller. The Stadia controller as it is out of the box when using it with Stadia, when it was actually up and running, used Wi-Fi, but the controller also had Bluetooth in it. So Google this week provided a tool that lets you unlock the Bluetooth mode, and then you can pair it up with a laptop or a Pi, or other gaming systems other than a Switch, because I could not get it to work with my Switch. But takes about 2 minutes, all goes through a browser, and you just have to hook it up with the USB-C cable and or USB-C to USB-A cable, and it works. I paired it up to – it will pair up to Android as well, so I paired it up with my phone temporarily until it got to be annoying, because I don't use my phone to play arcade style games. But I guess if you had the upcoming Pixel tablet, maybe a great little system to play some retro stuff on it, or build a Pi, retro Pi, if you can find a Pi.
Yeah.
or use a capable board that has Bluetooth on it.
Yeah.
But if you find those Stadia controllers like in a thrift store or online or like on Facebook Marketplace, because there might be a whole lot of people
still like
ditching those.
Bucks. So
they're actually still for sale?
Well, like eBay, second party, stuff like that. They're still pretty expensive.
Yeah, in that case, I would, if that's what you see there, probably better look for those kinds of things at garage sales or something.
Yeah,
where they don't know where they don't know what they have, you know, where they don't know what they have. But
looking at Amazon, looks like $90.
Ouch. Yeah,
eBay, it's $50, $60.
Yeah, it's not worth that. But if you had one, like, see, I got mine free, okay? I didn't have to pay nothing for it, you know. And of all the stuff that they did wrong with Stadia, the controller wasn't one of them. It's a good controller. It feels nice in the hand, and it feels a lot like it feels a lot like the Nintendo Switch Pro controller, which eventually you need to get one of those, but. What I'd also like to find is like a Bluetooth version of a stick similar to like an Atari joystick, so I can play the Atari 50th anniversary thing. There's actually one thing on that cartridge is there's actually games you can unlock too.
Yeah, instead of the Google Stadia controller, I'd probably go with something like the Bluetio.
Yeah. Or
just for the price.
for a wire controller, you can probably find some Logitech made. What I think was it the G10? I can't remember.
Well, Logitech has the F310.
That's it. I was trying to remember what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those, but I think I got rid of it. Yeah, I got rid of it when I moved.
Both around somewhere.
Yeah. I like to, like I said, I would like to find something that feels more like some of the classic retro sticks and pads than the Stadia controller. Because some games just play better on the original controller. Like,
oh, not Bluetooth, it's 8-bit Do.
8-bit Do,
the Pro 2 is a wired gamepad, which is really nice. They also have the wireless version.
I had the USB version. I think, yeah. Was it USB? No. It was a remade version of the original Atari joystick made by Retrobit. It's pretty awful. I mean, the original Atari joystick would break after time, you know. The tabs on the ring would break off the stick portion, and then it was pretty useless
didn't last very long.
No,
the 8-bit Do Pro 2 Bluetooth controller. It's
okay,
nice
for those who like the gamepad style. But the Retrobit repro of that Atari joystick lasted even less time, Pat. I ordered it and it didn't last a day, and I broke it playing Star Raiders on my
at least back in the day, those cheap Atari joysticks, they were cheap. They were like
And they lasted longer.
Broke your
than
controller
the
playing Star Raider?
Yeah, I don't know how. That's how shitty the controller was. I mean, the Retrobit one just, you know, you're better off finding a Survivor one, and if it's, hopefully it's still in one piece, you know, or go to the thrift store and find several Survivors.
Or just don't be violent while playing Star Raider.
Yeah, well, I wasn't violent. I was just trying to make a turn, and, you know, and the tab snapped right off. And it didn't work after that. The board was fine.
Whatever
you're
gonna tell yourself.
Yeah. But
try not to suffer, you know, rage while playing your video games.
Now,
and you won't have as many broken controllers as Joel.
I don't have that many broken controllers anymore because I don't keep them. But
oh,
I
your rage calm down a little bit.
Them. So no, but I haven't tried yet, but I've heard you can take the Genesis controllers, and those work with Atari-based controllers. It's the same connector.
Oh, that's cool.
So I haven't tried it yet, and I don't know. I guess probably the A button is the only one that would work, because it's got a B and a C. And Genesis didn't have shoulder buttons, I think.
Nope.
So
you had the 3 button and you had the 6 button for the Genesis.
Right. And then the Saturn used almost a similar controller. But it's like those games, it's like, can you imagine playing Mario 64 with a controller that's not the original Nintendo 64 controller? It just feels different. Now, if you're used to playing PlayStation games, any of these gamepads will feel just right for you. But I remember years ago, though, when Dan got his DS Lite. That was a great little system.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yep.
But you come on the show and talk about it?
He did. A lot. Back when it was new, that's how old this show is. I still have a DSi right now, and it still works. I need to find some more Switch games at some point.
Well, I hear that's what they make the internet for.
Uh-huh.
Here you can find just about anything on there if you look.
Actually, you can, but...
Have you looked?
No. I'm a little bit jealous of Dor, because Dor got a Steam Deck. He was talking about it on their last show.
Did one of the mid ranges, or did he?
No, I think he got the more expensive one.
Oh, okay, okay, the one with the anti glare screen.
I believe.
So. Yeah. I wouldn't mind those, but there's not too many Class A games I like.
I got a drop. I got another call coming up. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Have fun on your call.
I'm sure I won't.
I know you won't.
But
take it easy.
Yeah, I don't know if I could justify the cost of the Steam Deck for myself.
Sure you can, Joel.
You know what I need to do is I need to find and refer another employee. I might be able to do that. See, the base level Steam Deck is $300-$400, and the one I'd want is almost $700. So it's like, and I know you can run regular Linux on it too, but it's just like the GPD Win little laptops. I would love to have one of those, but I just can't justify the cost of something that I wouldn't use that much. I mean, I use it multiple times a year, but it's like, you know, am I going to play as much as... Is it going to be worth my while? It might be, but, you know. So what happened, man?
I should have, like, learned my lesson from times in the past.
On the positive note, James Middendorf, Riddlebox, wonderful guy, sent me a link to getting the Univi network application.
Oh, so that's what you did.
So the Univi controller running on a Pi, because I have this Raspberry Pi here that perfect.
Right.
Right? And I swear to God, like, it should be easy, but it never is. It never is. Like, the setup instructions went, like, it was so easy to get this thing installed. It was really easy, right? And it was smooth. And I should have done this before. But the thing is, the one thing I don't like about this system, I mean, if you're running a network of these devices, like a small business or whatever, and you have a bunch of these things, this tool is probably wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just have one.
Right.
And this is like
a little overkill, right?
The third or fourth time this has happened to me now, in that it's so tied to the, like, you can log into the actual device and do some rudimentary management of it. Like, I believe you could set, like, the IP address and the gateway and all sorts of stuff like that. There's certain things that you can set up on it.
Right.
But to get the rest of it done, you kind of need to use Unify. So, like, all that port forwarding stuff and all that, I had set up through the Unify software. And once you move the system, like, and this, obviously this is my fault, right? And I try to, like, maybe learn a little bit each time that this happens, like, what's going on. But long story short, I had the software on this, the laptop that died, and now I have to bring it up on the other Pi, on the Pi, and so it recognizes that there's a device there, but it's like, you can either factory reset it or go for the advanced adoption.
Right.
And the advanced adoption, you put in the username and password of the device, and it should bring it into the system.
Mm-hmm.
It asked me if I wanted to restore a backup, but my backups were on the computer that died. And what I should have done was taken out the hard drive
and grabbed it off
and
of
tried
it. Yeah.
To grab the backup. But I tried, like, the quick and dirty way out. So I put in the username and password, and then it went, and it was going, and it was going, and it was going, just sitting there. And then, I don't know. I don't know what the hell it did. It, like, factory reset the device.
Uh-oh.
And kind of tried to adopt it, but now it's in a funky situation where it's kind of set this, like, username and password on it, this random username and password on it. So I can't get into the device. I can't adopt it by the software. It's not even on my network anymore. Like, it's defaulted back to the original whatever. It's connecting to my ISP through DHCP.
Right.
So my static IP address isn't working. And it is delivering DHCP to my laptop, but I'm on the wrong network. But luckily, I'm connected to both wired in and Wi-Fi so that I'm on two different networks through this laptop so I can go between both systems. So now the only way that I'm aware of that I could fix this is I have to factory reset the device and log into it with that
with the standard password.
With the password, right. Which they say, and then hope that that fixes, you know, hope that I can adopt it.
Right.
Then try and get it onto the right network through there. It's such, oh, God.
Pain in the ass.
It is. It is. It's like when.
Yeah. Is it now? Is that just Wi-Fi for your house, or is that everything?
Oh, it's not. It's not Wi-Fi at all.
Okay.
It's a gateway. It's okay. What I have between my internal network and
the internet.
The internet. Yeah.
Right.
So it's. Huh. Now, I have all my information, and the backup I have, I know, is an older backup. So I have to reset this device, and if I do that, I'm going to lose connectivity, and it's going to drop the show again. So I got to wait a little bit before I do that.
Yeah, so it sounds like you may end up having a longer night after the show. To get everything set so that you can actually work and stuff in the morning.
Yeah, I do have to get a set. Yeah.
I hate that. That's happened to me before. But so, see, but I don't use anything weird like the Unify. I've got a consumer grade router.
Oh, I have another device I could just drop in there if worse comes right. to worse. But I want to get my biggest concern is I'm hoping it didn't lose all the mappings and settings and
right.
stuff.
Right. Yeah, the NAT mappings and stuff like that. Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to recreate those. I'm lazy. And the DHCP, like I had it delivering specific addresses to devices based on the Mac address.
And it's a good thing we don't do AstroScale to your house anymore.
Yeah. No kidding.
I remember those days. It was a pain in the ass to work with Asterisk. But.
Now.
And a little over. Yeah.
What is interesting though is so I have the hard drive pulled out of this system.
Right.
And I'm noticing it is a 630 gig hard drive.
Okay.
Which
dude,
is
put that hard drive in another system.
And it's a spinning disk though. Yeah, oh. I'm almost tempted to put it into this Dell. But I really yep. should get an SSD on the Dell.
Yeah. Or you really should at some point invest in a new laptop because. I think your newest laptop is, what, 4 or 5 years old, I think, now? Not counting your work machine? I'm yeah. still on Monterey for... They won't let us get the whatever the latest one is. Was it Sierra or I forget what the new one is. But corporate won't let us upgrade it until they bless it, and they still haven't blessed it yet. But for the Mac, for my work, I finally feel like I'm settling in with it, for most of my workflow. Which, you know, what I do on a day to day kind of changed a little bit, back in December, but it's been great actually working on this team because, I guess you never really think about how nice it is when you have a manager that truly supports you and the team. Uh-huh. But that's what I've got now. You know, if we come up with – if we have a legitimate concern or something, she will bring it to the appropriate people, which is not something that always happened on some of my older teams. So that's great. So and – And it's actually not been too bad about working with my one coworker. I just feel so sorry for him because his wife has cancer now, and she's been through her first chemo. Her second one's next week, but he's so stressed out and stuff. He had a sick day yesterday, or was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Even after the long weekend, so. Because we had off for Martin Luther King Day, but he's doing okay. I mean, it's just, I mean, how okay can you be when you have a loved one going through
yeah.
a cancer battle? I mean, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I'm just praying for the guy, but other than that, I've kind of enjoyed the new move. It's much better. We're getting what we don't know as teammates. My manager does, and she's just really good. And poor her, she's been trying to help the this month is always busy for our support because we have all the reg updates, federal regulation updates for producing tax forms, and you know it's. Every college has a month to get their W-2s and 1099s and 1098-Ts into the mail to people, and it's that combined with their normal workload is always a challenge, so we're pretty hammered. But I like, the best thing I like about the new team is I go to work in the morning, I start working, and all of a sudden it's the end of the day. You know, time passes really fast.
It's like
when I'm working tickets all day, that's, you know, it just it goes really fast. So especially since a lot of our tickets, like I have this system that, like, we have a dashboard and ServiceNow, and I'll go to the incoming incident pages, and if I see like a bunch of, we have a bunch of incidents that'll get kicked off when the monitor, say a we have a monitor in Datadog that does a simulated login to the application. Okay, so at any point during the day, if that system becomes a little slow, that monitor will fail, but there's nothing actually wrong. So all you got to do is go in and hit the button again, and it will clear. All right. So if I have a bunch of those sitting in the queue, I'll right-click each one and open them up in a separate tab, assign myself to each one, open up Datadog, and start pressing buttons. I can whip out 10 of those pretty quickly, although I usually end up running into Datadog has a limit to how many times you can press that button. So if you go more than about 3 times, it'll say you can't click anymore and you have to wait. But I clear those out pretty quickly. I say probably 10-20 minutes, if that. So I do that, you know, a few times a day, and I'm for the most part done, unless something critical happens, or like I have one of the actual application folks that do the financial aid or student modules, and they'll get us on a call, and we'll do work with the client and ratchet up the logging, grab the logs, upload them, so on and so forth, you know. And those take some time. Like I was on a call for a good hour with the client there, and then now they at least another one. We had another one where he invited the client. The client didn't show up, but we ended up just recycling services one at a time, which we could do because that service is load balanced. So, you know, you wouldn't take the whole thing down unless you did them all at the same time. So if you did one, did the next, you know, the app, you would never see the difference. But the services would be all restarted and caches filled back up. So, and that fixed their problem, which is like, you know, okay. Because it was an adjustment. Because for some dumb reason, this application, when the client goes in to make some adjustments, like say they add a message to a page or something, that won't show up until you recycle things. And I don't know why. They've never gotten around to fixing it, so it doesn't do that. So, but. But for my printer, though, I finally got it printing reliably now, and it ended up, I just replaced everything that the filament touches, except for the, I didn't replace the PTFE tubing. I put a new extruder on, a new hot end, recalibrated everything, and it worked. So it's like, I've only been struggling with it since October, so. Oh well. It's printing away now, so. Cool.
Alright. Oh, I hate this thing.
Maybe we should end the show a little bit early so you can get to bed earlier.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
So,
why don't I do this? Why don't I play
this out
if I can? Oh yeah, I can. No, I.
All right, you can just edit the show and add it on the end.
Let me see if I can. Wait, is it? Oh, that might have lost its.
Yep.
One second.
Any last words, Pat?
I'm good. Have a good one.
All right. See you guys next week. I'm actually going to hop off, Dan, so we'll see you, man.
All right. Here we go. I'll play this out. Short week.
Oh, it's, I'm not going to be able to play this out because they're not connected. If I connect them, then they're going to lose the network. So we'll just stop right here. Jeez, what a fiasco. 30 gig hard drive?
Okay.
Which
dude,
is,
put that hard drive in another system.
And it's a spinning disk though. Yeah, oh. I'm almost tempted to put it into this Dell. But I really should get an SSD on the Dell.
Yeah. Or you really should at some point invest in a new laptop, because I think your newest laptop is what, 4 or 5 years old, I think now. Not counting your work machine. I'm still on Monterey they won't let us get whatever the latest one is. Was it Sierra or I forget what the new one is. But corporate won't let us upgrade it until they bless it, and they still haven't blessed it yet. But for the Mac, for my work, I finally feel like I'm settling in with it. For most of my workflow, which, you know, what I do on a day to day kind of changed a little bit, back in December, but, it's been great actually working on this team, because, I guess you never really think about how nice it is when you have a manager that truly supports you and the team, but that's what I've got now. You know, if we come up with, if we have a legitimate concern or something, she will bring it to the appropriate people, which is not something that always happened on some of my older teams. So that's great. And it's actually not been too bad about working with my one coworker. I just feel so sorry for him because his wife has cancer now, and she's been through her first chemo. Her second one's next week, but he's so stressed out and stuff. He had a sick day yesterday, or was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Even after the long weekend, so. Because we had off for Martin Luther King Day. but he's doing okay. I mean, it's just, I mean, how okay can you be when you have a loved one going through a cancer battle? I mean, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I'm just praying for the guy. But other than that, I've kind of enjoyed the new move. It's much better. We're getting what we don't know as teammates. My manager does, and she's just really good. And poor her, she's been trying to help this month is always busy for our support because we have all the reg updates, federal regulation updates for producing tax forms. And, you know, it's... Every college has a month to get their W-2s and 1099s and 1098-Ts into the mail to people, and it's that combined with their normal workload is always a challenge. So we're pretty hammered, but I like. The best thing I like about the new team is I go to work in the morning, I start working, and all of a sudden it's the end of the day. You know, time passes really fast.
It's like
when I'm working tickets all day, that's, you know, it goes really fast. So especially since a lot of our tickets, like I have this system that, like, we have a dashboard in ServiceNow, and I'll go to the incoming incident pages, and if I see like a bunch of we have a bunch of incidents that'll get kicked off when the monitor, say a we have a monitor in Datadog that does a simulated login to the application, okay? So at any point during the day, if that system becomes a little slow, that monitor will fail, but there's nothing actually wrong. So all you got to do is go in and hit the button again, and it will clear, all right? So if I have a bunch of those sitting in the queue, I'll right-click each one and open them up in a separate tab, assign myself to each one, open up Datadog, and start pressing buttons. I can whip out 10 of those pretty quickly, although I usually end up running into Datadog has a limit to how many times you can press that button. So if you go more than about 3 times, it'll say you can't click anymore and you have to wait. But I can clear those out pretty quickly. I say probably 10, 20 minutes, if that. So I do that, you know, a few times a day, and I'm for the most part done, unless something critical happens, or like I have one of the actual application folks that do the financial aid or student modules, and they'll get us on a call, and we'll do work with the client and ratchet up the logging, grab the logs, upload them, so on and so forth, you know. And those take some time. Like I was on a call for a good hour with the client there, and then at least another one. We had another one where he invited the client. The client didn't show up, but we ended up just recycling services one at a time, which we could do because that service is load balanced. So, you know, you wouldn't take the whole thing down unless you did them all at the same time. So if you did one, did the next, you know, the app, you would never see the difference. But the services would be all restarted and caches filled back up. So, and that fixed their problem, which is like, you know, okay. Because it was an adjustment. Because for some dumb reason, this application, when the client goes in to make some adjustments, like say they add a message to a page or something, that won't show up until you recycle things. And I don't know why. They've never gotten around to fixing it, so it doesn't do that. So, but. But for my printer, though, I finally got it printing reliably now, and it ended up I just replaced everything that the filament touches, except for I didn't replace the PTFE tubing. I put a new extruder on, a new hot end, recalibrated everything, and it worked. So it's like, I've only been struggling with it since October, so. Oh well. It's printing away now, so. Cool.
Alright. Oh, I hate this thing.
Maybe we should end the show a little bit early so you can get to bed earlier.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
So,
why don't I do this? Why don't I play
this out
if I can? Oh yeah, I can. No, I.
All right, you can just edit the show and add it on the end.
Let me see if I can. Wait, is it? Oh, that might have lost its.
Yep.
1 second. Oh, here we go.
Any last words, Pat?
I'm good.
I'm going. All right. See you guys next week. I'm actually going to hop off, Dan, so we'll see you, man.
All right. Here we go. I'll play this out. Short week.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to play this out because they're not connected. If I connect them, then they're going to lose the network, so we'll just stop right here. What a fiasco.
Trying to take a raft off a print.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, blood everywhere.
Had to put,
crazy glue it?
No, just some cotton and some tape.
It's something similar to that. Let's print the latches for those boxes. And,
trying to print hinges.
Yeah, that too. Because I'm printing them all at once. And the, first time I tried it without a brim or any other kind of adhesion, and the dang thing lifted off and, you know, ruined the print, obviously. But, so I did get them all printed though, but I used a brim and peeling all that off was a pain in the butt. But
now it's not so bad if you can go around it with a razor or something.
Yeah, yeah, I've got one of those deburring tools that Chep likes. Although I need to get another one because for some reason this one's a pain in the ass to open. The handle is supposed to hold like your spare blades for that. And it doesn't want to open very, very easily. I had to literally take a pair of pliers to it to get the dang thing to pop open to get one time. But not that I'd have to replace them that often. But
I just cut the bandage off to take a look, and wow, that is a big hole. It's not bleeding right this second, but it's a big hole.
Yeah,
stitch. Just one.
Just one.
But a
stitch. Well, that's probably not worth it.
You're going to do it yourself?
No, I'll just freaking butterfly tape it.
Dude, just 3D print yourself a new finger. You don't need it.
DM right. Block. Cut the damn thing off. Where's my isopropyl? Oh, this is going to hurt.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Ugh.
Send Joel a video.
No.
There's the isopropyl.
Did you see there was a second version of those boxes, too?
What boxes?
The boxes that Joe's printing.
Oh. Frog boxes? There's a whole bunch of them.
Right. I got the one. I think I would use the one that you had, and I printed the deep one. So it's pretty large, actually.
Yeah, I printed out a couple different ones to just try stuff out.
I'm just waiting for my screws to get here.
What are you screwing?
These go together. You need a 20-millimeter M3 screws.
Wait, what are we making?
Frog boxes.
What?
Frog boxes.
What is that?
Yep.
It's a box where the hinges kind of look like frog legs.
Oh, frog box. Okay. What are you going to do with it?
I put cables in mine.
Oh. Yeah. But the actual item on Thingiverse says that it's waterproof.
If you print the silicone seal, it is.
Maybe, but then you're it depends on
the material.
Yep.
How many walls and
even 100% print, like 100% infill prints, won't necessarily be watertight. But it's like I actually have when I was at the apartment, I printed these self-watering planters that I was gonna put like herbs and stuff in just keep them on by the window in the kitchen, you know, like things like chives or oregano or something like that, you know. Never got around to planting them, but what I got to do before I do that is they recommended coating the inside of the bottom one, which is what's going to hold the water, with Elmer's glue to seal all the seams, which is essentially PVA. So.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
But now I'm printing a, it's not a functional joystick, but it's just a, you know, neat looking print. Looks like an Atari joystick.
Actual size?
It's a little bit smaller, just judging by the size of the button. Because you do, you print the button separate so that you can print that in the orange. But it's probably 2/3 size, somewhere around there.
I redid my pile.
Yeah, you did. Cool.
Can you make it actually work?
My pie hole? Yeah.
No.
No, you can't.
Joystick.
Why not? This, add a PCB.
With the, that's because it's only the main stick portion is just one STL file. Oh, so everything is solid.
It doesn't actually move.
No, it doesn't move. It doesn't move. I'm sure you probably could. I think there's probably others out there, and I've got the one I started to make. I have not soldered up yet. Back right when we first, I'd say about 2 years ago now, probably. But eventually I'll get it soldered. I just haven't had time.
I do have a meeting in like 45 minutes that I said.
Well, let's get this show. Let's get this show rolling.
Sure.
Let's do this. This is show 988.
Fun with snow.
There's no snow.
No, our service now.
Oh.
That's what we call service now, snow.
Come on, man. I was having a good day, and you got to bring that.
Jira, best of Jira. I can't fucking stand that shit.
Yeah, I love do Jira.
Jira, yeah, we do too.
We use Jira.
Did they make you log all your hours in there?
No.
I don't like Jira for logging hours.
A front end for a front end for Remedy for logging our actual work time.
Yeah, we used to do Remedy.
But we also use Jira. Well, the development team uses Jira. And so if we want the development team, specific development teams to do something, we have to log a ticket with them so that they can log their time against it. We log our time using Remedy, essentially.
Yeah, we have to use ServiceNow, and they have we're having one problem. Since they started our team, we haven't been able to write changes for the things that we're doing to fix things. So we're like, I got a list. Fortunately, most of the changes didn't happen until like the last few weeks. So, there's a pretty major bug with our product where we had to increase heap sizes on some listeners. And so we just did it. We'll document it once they get that fixed.
We didn't start the show yet. You're talking about material. We didn't start the show yet.
I don't
yet.
Want to talk about that shit. But
all right. Well, here we're ready to go. This is 988. Fired away.